Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us is the wonderful Dr. Carl from Australia. Dr. Carl, good morning. Hope you're well.
I'm ever so peachy keen. Hope you're well too, Dr. Howard.
I am indeed. Okay, I'm very, very interested in our first conversation, considering that I have been on GLP-1s and, in fact, have lost like over 20 kilos. So that is something that I'm very happy about. But what I'm maybe unhappy about is that apparently reptile venom has given us weight loss drugs. Talk to me.
That's where it came from. So this is a good example of where some scientific discoveries come because you're specifically looking for something, but other scientific discoveries happen by accident. And in this case, it took 40 years. Now, so how much weight have you lost? And do you, how often do you take it? And what are the side effects?
So I've lost actually 25 kilos. I take it once a week. And I am one of the very, very, very blessed and fortunate people not to have side effects. So, but I also eat very cleanly. So,
You are so lucky.
I don't know if I ate badly, if I'd have more side effects, but I am lucky. In fact, my doctor said to me it's about 90% of people have some form of side effect. I just don't.
Wow, that is just a wonderful thing. Mm. So what happened was that it began in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the drug that you're taking is called a GLP, glucagon-like peptide, one. So one means it's the first one that it looked at. Peptide, it's a bunch of amino acids stuck together. You've heard about how people take peptides to make them more handsome and all that sort of stuff. That's a really dangerous path to go down. Glucagon-like, it's a chemical like glucagon. You make your own natural chemical that does what this chemical does, but it drops dead in 2 minutes. And what they found in the venom of the Gila monster, beginning back in 1980, a chemical that was 50% identical and had the same effects, but didn't last just for 2 minutes, but for days and sometimes a week. And it began way, way back in 1980. So we're talking, 45 years? It took like half a century to get going. A gastroenterologist, so that's a medical doctor who specializes in looking at the gut and treating diseases, decided that they would gain research experience, but still thinking about the gut. And I happened to run into somebody who was just a straight chemist and who was trying to find chemicals called peptides from animal venoms. And somebody sent him something from the Gila monster. The Gila monster lives in the southwest of the USA or just over the border in Mexico. It's maybe half a meter long, slow-moving, sluggish. It's got a venom. It's not poisonous. It won't kill you, but it'll make you feel awfully uncomfortable. And they found that it had a bit of an effect on blood sugar level. And that was way back around the early 1980s. Right. And then it took a decade to then find other chemicals out of it. And then originally it got brought in for type 1 diabetes. And they noticed along the way it had the accidental side effect of doing a whole bunch of things like reducing your body weight, but it also seems to act on your brain. Now, Howard, I'm guessing you knew this, but in some people who have a gambling addiction, the Ozempic will cure. Did you know that?
I actually didn't know about gambling. Somebody said to me that it works for people who are addicted to alcohol, for alcoholics as well. That's what I have heard.
Yeah, it's really weird that it actually works not just in the gut, but in many parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And it might end up being like a famous drug called metformin, M-E-T-F-O-R-M-I-N, which the French discovered well over half a century ago, and which keeps on popping up, having all sorts of uses. And so we're thinking that this weight loss drug will have many other uses as well, and we haven't found them yet. But it took us about 45 years just to get here. And I am so glad that you're not having the bad side effects, because they can be nasty.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I've spoken to people who have gone off the drug, even though it was helping, simply because they couldn't cope with the side effects. So, but very interesting to learn where it actually came from. Let's talk about ice cream being downgraded.
I'm sorry to break your heart on this one,
but
it turns out that they're not actually selling ice cream all the time when you go to buy it. If you want to get pure ice cream, what you're getting is something which is a mixture of vanilla and milk and cream and sugar, four ingredients. And yet when you go into the frozen food section, you'll find something that says things like frozen dairy product or super stuffed cold dough or heavenly flash. And they're very carefully ignoring the words ice cream because in addition to having the four expensive ingredients, they're chucking in all sorts of other ingredients and cutting back on expensive ingredients and sometimes throwing in a lot of air. And when they throw in the air, well, the feel in your mouth, and there is a technical term for this, the mouth feel is different. So then they add other chemicals. Now, I'm not saying these chemicals are bad, but for a true ice cream aficionado, you're not getting the extra flavor that you want. And it's moderately close, but you're not getting the real thing. And unfortunately, this is the way of the world. And it was brought on by a famous case going on in America where there was an ice cream called Ben and Jerry's. And they sold it to some big company saying, okay, we'll make Ben and Jerry's. We'll sell it to you. We'll walk away with a lot of money. But you've got to keep the quality the same. And now they're suing the big company for not keeping the quality the same. That's the latest. But
that is,
if it says ice cream,
so it's
on the local laws, it probably is really ice cream.
So it's like almost like whiskey, you know, that it can't be called a whiskey if it doesn't conform to certain standards.
Well, that depends on the country you're in.
Right.
So with regard to champagne, they managed to enforce this worldwide. It has to come from the area of France called Champagne, but can have certain percentage of other wines. But it all depends on how good the regulations are in the country you live in, which I believe is South Africa. And do they care about the consumer experience? And they've got probably lots of other more important problems to worry about.
That is where we leave it. So interesting. That was a Dr. Carl joining us every Wednesday as he does.